My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time for Commissions Baltimore. Ed Norris, what's going on, man?
Well, Jeremy had a story earlier that I just like him to recap so I can tell you how these things happen.
Yeah, so the Red Sox tweeted out, anyone who loves BDSM is our friend without introduction. They wanted BDSM to be big Dom Smith moments. Should have checked that out first. That tweet's been deleted, but I did like the subtweet underneath it. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Here comes the Dominator.
Yeah, big Dom. Even that doesn't sound right.
No.
But my question was, how does no one speak up at these meetings? Because, you know, this wasn't one person. This was a crew of people trying to be creative and edgy and just to do this. It's like, really? And then I brought up, you know, Sarasota, where every time I ride around, you see the buses. It's Sarasota County Area Transit. And it's like, that's scat. And that's what they put in all the buses and the bus stops. And do you know what that means? Like, even if it's that much, it's just, come on. Yeah, not that.
Poopity poop, poop, poop.
I read a story about that. Stupid guy, Sergeant. No, not you.
Yeah, I applied to.
We had shots fired in this club that we knew was a BDSM club. And
do you have membership?
No. It was in Greenwich Village, though. And if someone got tossed out, they'd always call on a fake gun run. So it's on the board of the 10th Street. We were the 6th. The 10th went to the north of us.
Hold on. So somebody would be so petty if they got kicked out that they would try to get everybody else in trouble?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So we get the same call. Shots fired. Hellfire. Whatever the name. I think it was Hellfire. 13th Street. So the 10th Precinct gets there to back us up, and it was a sergeant. He's the reason people don't like cops, was this guy. What a D-bag. Mm-hmm. Even the cops didn't like this guy. So I'm the sergeant. He's the sergeant. It's my priest. But he decides, he goes, what are you doing? I go, pump your brakes where you run in this place. Bah! He runs in, thinking it's a gun run. Yeah. What he doesn't know, it was scat night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he's stomping through human waste.
Do we have to tell people what scat night is? Like, do they know that already? It should be common knowledge, right? But I'm weird. So are you. It's poo.
Yeah.
You're pooing on each other. Yeah, that's what it's skimming. Bop, bop, do that. That's what he walked into. And he's like, oh my God, it's disgusting.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, was my point. So I just grinned because I worked. I know, you idiot. But anyway.
You
should have done
that
here. But anyway, I fast forward about 10 years, I guess. Now I'm deputy commissioner of operations. I'm sitting in the police commissioner's conference room, who was Howard Safer, who I love dearly, just passed away. And it's all the heads, the guys, the chiefs in the New York City Police Department. Not nice men for the most part. I mean, they didn't get to the top of that organization by being soft. And Safer has this recruiting ad. He's trying to be cool. Because he's, I was an old guy, and a lot of times guys want to just show they're still with it. Mm-hmm. So the recruiting a video is a very pretty African-American woman singing to Rock Steady but changing the lyrics. And she's doing reverse. She's actually not taking clothes off. She's putting on the New York City Police Department uniform mm-hmm. as she's singing. But the repeating line, the chorus was, get yourself a J-O-B in the community. And everybody's tapping their feet and bobbing their head and smiling. And Safer's got this big grin on. He's just loving it. And the video ends. and all, you know, all the toadies at the table, because it's just, you know, that was a typical, you know, kiss up, piss down. Like, they just, like, they would just, you know, they crap on the people below them, but they'd kiss up to the police commissioner. So he's like, so guys, what'd you think? And everybody, oh, that was fantastic, commissioner. I loved it. It was really good. The whitest voices you can imagine. That was wonderful.
Was it Larry from Pikesville?
He turns, I sit right to his left hand. I read it to the head of the table with him. He goes, you're being unusually quiet, Eddie. What'd you think? I go, it sucked. He you could hear a pin drop. He's like, he sits back and she goes, excuse me? I go, it sucked. He's like, why? I said, it's not a J-O-B. It's our career. You take an oath when you take this job. You could be killed. This doesn't honor the dead officers we've lost. I go, you take a test, a written test, a physical test, a psychological test, a medical test, and you still may not get this job. And it's hard to keep if you screw up at all. It's not that. A J-O-B is something you bounce from one job to the other. They go, this is a serious career. He's like, well, I never thought of it that way. That's, you're right. And what do you think all the other guys at the table did?
Yeah, me too. I felt the same way, Commissioner Early. Yeah.
You guys suck, really. No one spoke up except me, because that was my job. He only put me in that position because I can be that guy. And I had his authority to say it, and I wasn't afraid of him because he's a kid, right? He used to say things like, why do I keep you? I said, because you love me.
Yeah. Well, some people, like, appreciate somebody. Like,
he did.
It's nice to have somebody that kisses your ass, don't get me wrong. Like, but at some point, you need somebody to check you every once in a while.
You have to.
Yeah.
Or things like that get through, or things like BDSM get through. But this is how things happen. When people who have authority, you know, supposed to be strong men, they stay silent.
So back to Scat Night.
Yes.
So what happened when the guy walked in? Was it just a smell?
He ran. Listen, when you hear the bells go, ding, 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 shots fired, gun, you know, man with a gun inside, your adrenaline gets boom, boom, your heart's pounding. You go from, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. You go from doing nothing to, like, now it's like, oh crap, it's on. It's just about to get real. He ran in like you would do, which is still stupid because you don't know where the gunman is if there was a gun, which there wasn't. So he ran right through everything. Destroyed his shoes, his uniform. It was disgusting in general. Oh. Yeah. And you know, that's where local knowledge comes in.
That's Commissioner Baltimore. Thank you very much, Ed Norris. Gordon McGinnis from PFF joins us at 8:30. But on the other side of Uke, his decision's down to Cleveland and Pittsburgh. But there are conflicting reports out there. You want to see him in the AFC North? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:16 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Jeremy.
Oh, my goodness. This guy.
I think when we took the picture, somebody leaned against it.
I'm not even mad.
Thank you, sir.
Dumb.
I think somebody leaned against it when we took the picture.
This guy, you can see the whatever little sunlight we have out here coming in.
But still, it's, you know.
And it's gloomy outside. Okay. Look, I did it. I'm just.
It's warm outside.
Look, it's okay. It's like when. Well, my grandfather would wake up in the middle of the night and elbow my grandmother in the ribs and say, Sadie, make me a bologna sandwich. And then she would cuss him out and then make him a bologna sandwich. So I'm mad at you, but I did it.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, see, this is just breaking up the day, you know? I was supposed to play golf today. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going
to
happen.
Is it supposed to be that bad today, rain-wise?
Well, you can't play. Course, it's messed up.
They won't let you play in this.
Yeah.
It'll ruin
it. It'll be a little difficult to putt.
Just take out your driver. That's what I do.
The putter. Brandon Ayuk. His decision comes down to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, but conflicting reports about how close the deal is. I get the feeling, Ed, San Francisco is doing all of this so that at the end of it, they can say, see, we tried. Now you're stuck with us. I don't believe this is going to happen. I don't.
It's too difficult.
It's.
Yeah.
What? Why?
To get this trade going because of what Brandon Ayuk wants. He wants to be paid like a top five receiver, which is fine,
right.
But he also wants to pick where he's going to go. So it's like, yeah. I want to go to you and I want you to pay me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because New England, it was so funny. New England had a deal on the table and thought they were getting him. And Ayuk's like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And in New England, the story out of Patriots camp is like, we're out on the Ayuk trade. We want to focus on our young receivers. No, he said no.
He said no to you.
Yeah. You didn't turn them down. They turned you down.
I keep hearing, I mean, everyone, and not, you know, this is not me trying to be difficult. I'm just, I hear so many people saying this is a very difficult trade to make. Difficult trade to make.
Because you got
to
pay him.
I mean, that's it. It's not that difficult. You want to pay him? I think he deserves to be paid. He's a really good receiver.
I don't think he's top five receiver paid. He's not. But that's the problem. Yeah, he wants to be paid like it.
But it's not just that. It's the timing of it. Because if he were traded before the draft and before before free agency, then I don't think teams would have as much of a problem making it work.
They could spin the cap.
Well, I don't know who the 49ers have to backfill for him either, though. Because it's already now after the draft. Like, now, how do they backfill? Because he's a leading receiver.
The rumor was the Steelers and Browns are the last ones in on him, whether or not this fades. My buddy in Pittsburgh, he's not right on everything, but he throws a lot of stuff out there. Said they were asking for George Pickens back in a trade, which that makes sense.
That makes sense.
It makes sense if you're giving him a pick, George Pickens, and then you got to pay him. If it's like a lower pick, whatever.
George Pickens would love to get out of there.
Yeah, I think he'd love to go to San. Well,
why not?
It all depends where. Like
Pickens doesn't like it there, though.
I know, but some guys just ain't gonna like it anywhere. Is he gonna like going there and being second, third option probably?
Mm-hmm. Really good chance to go into the Super Bowl, better than Pittsburgh.
I know, but there are certain guys that are. I'm not saying he's an I mean my guy, but there are some wide receivers that care about their numbers and their money.
Yeah. Understand.
I want to win, but I care about my money, especially in the NFL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the NFL, you got to care about your money because they don't care about your money.
Well, it's a short career.
So I was happy that he turned down the Patriots because it told me he's not just about the money. And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. You got to pick something, man. You're going to get paid. You're going to get a good dollar amount. What do you think you're worth? Mm-hmm. Or else you're going to be stuck in San Francisco
riding
out.
I don't think this ever happens. I don't think he goes into free agency. Mm-hmm. This is not going to happen. But I do think San Francisco is dangling them out there long enough just so they can say, look, man, we tried. You know what I mean? You're asking for all this. What he is helping San Francisco do is in 3 weeks, they can spin this back on him. Man, we worked out the deals.
Yeah.
You didn't want the deal. We did everything
John
we could.
Lynch is not stupid.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing with this, too, is if the 49ers have a chance to do something really funny, is let him go to become a free agent at the end of the year and say, and franchise his ass.
Yeah.
Guess who's coming back to San Fran for one more year, Brandon? I think he is a top 15 receiver in this league, and that might be undervaluing for what he can do. He's a great route runner, can catch the deep balls, the intermediate, does a lot of. He reminds me a lot of a poor man's Reggie Wayne.
Well, let me throw out something else for you guys. Remember when the Ravens franchised Lamar Jackson, but franchised him to the way he could go out there and work out his own deal? Lamar found out that he could get paid a lot of money, but not the guaranteed money that he thought he was going to get paid. Mm-hmm. And it just made it affordable for the Ravens all over because they let him go. They also did that years ago with Ray Lewis. Ray realized it's cold out there, Ray. So if the San Francisco 49ers are putting Brandon Ayuk out there to allow him to find a deal, and Brandon Ayuk realizes, maybe I'm not worth what I thought I was worth, doesn't it make it kind of, I'm not saying easy, but put San Francisco back in the place to kind of throw him some money that, maybe this is the offer that they were giving him in the first place. Maybe what Brandon Ayuk is realizing is that he's only going to go out there and get the money that San Fran was offering him in the first place.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it makes him affordable for San Fran now.
Maybe. I just wonder, like, the wide receivers that we've typically seen hit the open market recently, it doesn't mean that he's going to be one, have failed once they've signed. Like, I think there's been buyer's remorse after signing it. I mean, go back to Kenny Galladay going to the Giants. I mean, there were so many teams that were going out there reaching for these wide receivers in free agency and paying them, and they don't come in and they don't fit in, you know? And some of them, like, get paid, and then you see them just kind of fade off into, you know, existence. It's like, hey, what happened to that guy? Where is he? Brandon Ayuk is one of those guys that he just has to look in the mirror and say, do I want to be here, yes or no? Need to go somewhere else and work out a deal. Am I being too ridiculous in what I'm asking for? You can ask for whatever you want, but ultimately, if the teams are saying no, your ass is going to wind up back in San Francisco, and if that's where you don't want to be, you've got to make some sort of decision.
It's an interesting decision. I think he stays there, and if he goes anywhere, he's coming to this division.
Mm-hmm.
They offered him a deal that's averaged $26 million a year in May.
He said no.
$26 million.
Not good.
Now he's out there flirting with these other teams. You know what he may find out? That's all he's going to get.
Yeah.
So if he finds out that's what he's worth, his ass may end up right back in San Francisco.
I got news for you. If I'm the 49ers and he's like, hey, I got to stay here, so I'll take that $26 million. Oh, you mean the $20 million deal that we talked about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
that's how it works.
You know what? Fine. If San Francisco wants to play that, I would say, no, I can go there and get 26. Mm-hmm. So I don't. If You just said he's not stupid. No, he's not doing that. Mm-hmm. He's not going to say he has 20 million. He's going to give him the 26.
I know, but
because,
I'm just saying.
Because like he'll realize if he goes back at 20, then you lose him because now you're playing with him and there's people out there offering him 26.
John Lynch isn't us.
Yeah.
He's not spiteful.
So. Yeah, he's probably spiteful, but he, you know.
How is the most petty guy on this show making sense about this?
Because I don't believe him. That's why.
I thought I threw it out there.
He's doing this with his John Lynch mind, not his.
I thought Rob was going to go 20 million. I'm offering 15.
Yeah, you want to know what I would do? Ed's right. I'm talking for John Lynch. What I would do? You're having a hold in. Get off the property. Go home.
Yeah.
Get off the property.
Where's security?
Escort this man off. He's not doing his job. We pay him to be a wide receiver. You're not playing that game with me. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't find me. Why? Because I'm here.
Right.
Nah, man. Nah, we ain't playing that game. Let's go to Ed in Towson. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Normal. How are you?
I'm good. I think, and this is a coach speak thing, so it might, you know, it may not show up on the radar screen as far as the numbers go. Ed, there's something about this cat where folks ain't falling. And it might be the numbers, but I've heard that he can be a little edgy, and that doesn't factor in. If your production is bigger than what is it, like Vinny says, the problem or whatever, then it might be worth the time. But I think Mike Tomlin, I would rather see him go to Cleveland. If I had a choice, I'd rather see him go to Cleveland because Deshaun Watson ain't Deshaun Watson of old, and I don't think that coach can deal with him. I think Tomlin was trying to figure out a way, and maybe it goes above Tomlin's head, but he is a guy that works with guys that may be a little bit edgy in the locker room. And I've heard that, and that might be hyperbole, but – do you think, Ed, that that's got anything to do with it? You know, like,
yes.
Wait a minute.
No, I think you're spot on. I think the same reason that the Eric Bieniemy didn't get a head coaching job, because clearly he can be a head coach, but nobody wants him.
Wait a minute. San Fran offered him 26 a year. I don't think that's the mm-hmm. case at all. I mean, that's what Cooper Kupp makes. That's more than Devontae Smith makes. They're offering him top dollar. He just wants to be
more than that.
26 million says mm-hmm. people want you. That 26 million says somebody wants you. You just want more.
Look, being a wide receiver is one of the most egotistical positions you can play because you can get so frustrated that you're doing everything right and you're not getting the ball. Or when the team starts losing, you start complaining. He's looking at what Justin Jefferson got going. I'm as good as him. They just don't throw me the ball enough.
Speaking of getting paid, will a certain Oriole outfielder get paid from Baltimore? We'll talk about that at 8:45. But on the other side, Gordon McGinnis weighs in on Brandon Ayuk from PFF, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
A fan. Doesn't Mike Tomlin always look like a man who's trying to impersonate Mike Tomlin? I love that dude.
His eyes are always so wide open.
I love him, man. I think he's like my favorite coach in the National Football League. Look at him. I mean what I'm saying, too. I'm telling you. Joining us right now from PFF, he's Gordon McGinnis. Good morning to you, Gordon.
Good morning. How's it going?
Doing well. Look, we were just talking about Brandon Ayuk, how he wants to be paid. San Fran offered him a contract. We gave him an annual $26 million a year back in May. He did not want that. It's, in the PFF world, where does Brandon Ayuk rank, and how should he get paid?
Yeah, he was one of the highest graded wide receivers in the NFL last year. I think it's really interesting, just on the way that contracts work in the NFL, like the next guy up usually gets close to resetting that market. So it's really difficult to not put him, you know, at least within touching distance of the top contract at the position. The tough thing for the 49ers, though, is if they were trying to keep him, because the way their offense works and because they've got so many different guys, that number one wide receiver arguably has less importance there, which I think is probably why we are going to see that trade. And he'll probably wind up as like a top two, three paid player at the position, I think.
One of the, I think the most important move the Ravens have made was picking up Derrick Henry. How do you guys view him over there? I know people say he was 30. He's on the, I don't know if he's on the downslope or not. He's still got, he led the league in carries. He gets a ton of carries. His yards per carry is down at the click, but what do you think he's going to do for this team?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really seen any decline from him yet. There is always that chance when you get a running back who is 30 plus years old, there is going to be a decline at some point. But the thing I'm most excited about here is I think in the running game, him and Lamar Jackson are going to complement each other so well. Like, there's a lot of stuff that he's going to do for Lamar Jackson because he's going to force linebackers and defensive backs in the box to focus on Henry a little bit, which will open things up for Lamar. Similarly, if you get late in a game and you've had to deal with Lamar Jackson taking the ball outside, you know, 7-8 times at that point, and you're tired and you're sick fed up of chasing him down, and all of a sudden the Ravens are turning around and handing the ball to a running back who's the size of a tight end and just running downhill at you, that's just not going to be fun for defenses.
Yep. Hey, Gordon, can I ask you what you think about the Browns? Because I love their roster except for quarterback. I don't know what to think about Deshaun Watson since all the stuff went on in Houston and he got traded, but I think they have one of the better rosters in football outside of that position. What are your thoughts on the Browns this year?
I agree entirely. Like, it's a really good roster. Like top to bottom, with the exception of the most important position in football, and it's just really difficult to know as well with Watson because he's had the injuries the last couple of years. You know, there is the chance that he kind of needs that run to kind of get back to where he was as a player. But the further and further you get from his last really good season in Houston, the harder it is to expect him to be, you know, an effective quarterback in the NFL again. And realistically, Joe Flacco, despite his age, was better for the Browns offense than he was last year. So it's definitely one of the more intriguing storylines heading into the season.
Gordon McGinnis, PFF, joins us a little bit earlier. Gordon, talked about Lamar Jackson, and Jeremy, who was part of the gambling world, says his projected rushing yards are lower than it's ever been in his entire career going into the 2024 season. You know, added one of the premier, if not the premier running back in all of football to this offense. Do you think Lamar Jackson will put up maybe a season low in rushing yards this year because of the passing game?
It's really interesting because the passing game and being able to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry in theory tells you that Lamar Jackson is probably not going to run for as many yards as he has in the past. The flip side of that, I would say, though, and Lamar himself, I think, has acknowledged this, is he's slimmed down because he felt like he wasn't fast enough. And there's probably a handful of you know, 20 to 40 yard runs that Lamar left at 10 yards last year because he just didn't have that same burst. So the kind of counterbalance to maybe the rushing attempts that could help bring that total could drop, but it really wouldn't surprise me to see him break more long gains this year when you include the introduction of Derrick Henry, which just is going to force teams to focus on the Ravens offense in the running game differently, and also Lamar Jackson losing a little bit of weight and probably becoming a little bit faster again.
Do you think, I mean, the Ravens have been criticized for, well, I'd say choking, but not sticking with what they're good at, like the running game against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. With the addition of Henry and the fact that Isaiah Likely looks so good right now, he looks like he's going to have a big year. Do you think we'll see a different offense from this team where you may see a lot more two tight end sets with, you know, Derrick Henry on the field, Lamar Jackson, and two premier tight ends and things like that?
I think so. I think when you look at the Ravens' roster right now and where their strengths are on offense and where their weaknesses are on offense, their best five in skill positions on offense are almost always going to be two wide receivers, Mark Andrews, Derrick Henry, and then Isaiah Likely. If you're passing the ball, if you're trying to run the ball more at the end of the games, it's probably Patrick Ricard coming in at that second tight end spot. And if they want to have their best five out there, you're going to see more Isaiah Likely and you're going to see more two tight end sets because it just naturally fits with where they are as a roster. The other part of that I think that gets lost a little bit when these things get talked about is Lamar Jackson's really good throwing the ball across the middle of the field and having two tight ends who can go and win the ball there. We saw that down the stretch last year, even just with Isaiah Likely. They formed a really good partnership because Lamar is really good at throwing the ball across the middle.
Hey, Gordon, as we look at, you know, this defense here, I have questions about it. I know everybody's talking about how good OAs look coming into the season. They've lost a lot of players. I don't know anybody of substance outside of Jadeveon Clowney. I feel like they have replacements for some of the other guys. How do you think this defense is going to look this season?
It's really intriguing because it's not just the players. It's also the coaching change as well. Going from losing Mike McDonald becomes, you know, like, potentially a big loss. And when McDonald came in, it took them a little bit to find their feet those first 4 weeks of the season. There were some hiccups there. So they might go through something similar here. I think you kind of touched on it there. The biggest concern for me is off the edge of the defense. Losing Clowney is big, and they really need someone like David Ojabo or Tavius Robinson to have a big leap forward. Ojabo is a guy who, you know, preseason last year, he just got one pressure from 40 pass rushing snaps, a guy they drafted in the second round. They're really hoping he's going to make that leap, especially when Adisa Isaac looks like he's, you know, not going to be fully ready as things get going. I know he's back at practice now. And then, yeah, the other big loss, obviously, is Patrick Queen. But all the noise about Trenton Simpson and the flashes we saw from him in that Steelers game at the end of the season last year, I think there's a good chance that he gets to, you know, maybe 80% of what Patrick Queen was last year. And yeah, that would be a big recovery, I think.
There he is, Gordon McGinnis. Gordon, tell us all about PFF.
Yeah, PFF right now, you can head over there. We've got a nice little annual sale going on just now. And, you know, tonight preseason game starts for real. So we'll have those grades coming up and a bunch of new things we're trying with recaps where we're trying to bring PFF subscribers snap counts pretty much immediately after games end. So hopefully some good things there for people to check out.
Thank you very much, Gordon. Appreciate you. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. If you're waiting for shovels, we'll give them out at 9 o'clock. So get yours ready. Give us a call so you can get it on there as well.
I might give you one.
Why?
I don't know. Just because I'm leaving and I got to do something. By the way, is he okay if we call him Gordo? I always feel like if you had a friend named Gordon, you should just call him Gordo.
I have a friend named Gordon. I call him Gordo.
I don't know why that is. He's just like, hey, let's just get rid of the end. Sorry, Rob.
Must be a white thing because I don't have...
have any friends named Gordon?
No. Do you have any Kevins?
No.
I got some Kevins.
Oh,
right. My buddy Kevin James. That's right.
Sounds white. Yeah. The King of Queens? Yes, that's him.
But that's not him, though.
Oh.
He's a cop. It's a Baltimore cop.
Yeah. He's a cop. What, are you going to spit in it?
Is he Paul Blart?
He's a cop. He's it's a for cop.
A cop. Anthony Santander putting up big numbers as he enters free agency. Can the Orioles keep him? Will they try? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. 8:48 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Orioles GM Michael Elias appeared on Inside Access yesterday. He was asked about whether or not the team could re-sign Anthony Santander.
He is a great player. Like you mentioned, the switch hitter, you know, is something that is rare and valuable. But there's a whole lot that goes into the business of baseball, and ultimately things come down to case by case in certain circumstances. We love Santander. He's really been a big part of where we are right now, despite some of the challenges that we've had health-wise throughout the year. So I'm sure he's going to finish really strong, and you know, we'll see where we're at.
You know, change back and forth with someone, you know, is I put something out there about Santander last night, and someone replied, I hate to see him in another uniform next year. And they went on to say, he hasn't seemed greedy thus far. Fingers crossed, we need him. That's not greed.
No,
let me ask you all a question. How many of you are going to take significantly less money mm-hmm. to stay at a job because your friends are there?
Right.
To stay at a job because people there like you?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take the best deal that you have for you. It's Santander will be 30 years old next year. This is it. He's played for peanuts. Comparatively speaking,
to
what guys
arbitration year,
but still peanuts.
Yeah,
peanuts, dude. What is he making this year?
11. You're saying peanuts,
he makes
right?
11 now.
Makes $11.7 million this year. That is peanuts for a guy that's put up his numbers consistently for the past 3 years. That is guys that put up those numbers are making $25-30 million.
Yeah.
So it's not being greedy. It's getting what you deserve.
And Rob made a good point. So like being 29.
You say that again?
Yeah.
He said that three times today.
And I think Beetlejuice is going
to. You need to go away.
Thank you, thank you. No, but like with him, I think being 29, maybe the numbers are down a little bit than what we're thinking, but we're not off by much. Like no. I'd be shocked if he signs anything less than an average of 20 to 25 million.
Yes, that's what I have him at.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's like the bottom of where I have him. I think he could get more on the open market. The only guy I'd have to go look at free agency. The only guy that I'm positive is ahead of him is Juan Soto. I mean, he's just going to get paid. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Sure. His age, the production. But go compare what Santander has done this year to other peers. And that's what you go off of, too.
So, why is it that people want the player to take the discount to be with the team?
Because it helps
But
us.
People never want the team to take the sacrificial risk to play the player what he's worth. Well, why am I? If you want to make a sacrifice, how about you make the sacrifice and give me what the market says I deserve.
Right. Like, they would do that at work. Like, you know, take a pay cut for the reason, or, you know, give a hometown discount just because you're a good guy. Like, come on.
Our company is better off with you. Could you take significant less money to stay to make us all better? No. No. and you do that later on in your career. You know, this is his first payday.
This is a chance to make his big money.
This is his first payday. You know what I mean? He signs a five-year deal. He looks up. He's 34, 35. He wants to sign another deal. Then you start looking, well, I'll go there because I'll be a role player there and make them better. That's when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you get your money when it's your opportunity to get your money.
Get paid. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hey, listen, nobody wants to see him go. I dare to find a fan that says, God, I can't wait for them to get rid of him. We have these young guys. Nobody wants to see him go.
Not only but productivity, but the guy that he is.
Everything. Yeah, the whole package, everything. His leadership abilities, his athletic ability.
The smile, the swag, the personality, all those things go great, and I want to see him here if the price is right.
I want him to get paid so much money from wherever he... Like, I want to see him stay here, don't get me wrong, but like... you mentioned the person he is, and I just think that's the other thing that people don't realize, and that's not a reason that you're going to pay a guy. But it can be a reason why I want to see him get paid, because I think genuinely when you talk about a guy that came from being a Rule 5,
mm-hmm.
the stuff that happened with all the English fans when they came up, like,
yeah,
that was hilarious.
They loved him.
It's cool. And then I brought up when he was talking, I don't know if he knew the camera was on him or not, when he was talking about the all-women broadcast, and he was going, this is really cool. This is a huge step up for them, you know, mm-hmm. to get an opportunity like this. And I think those things are important. I do.
410-583-1057 is the number. Get your money, Santander. Get your money, man. I hope that it's here, but if not, I'm still going to root for him.
Getting paid is your forte.
Eli in Parkville. What's up, Eli?
Good morning, fellas. I was an advocate for signing Santander last year because I just thought that he deserved it, and he's like a vocal leader in the locker room, and you could see it during his play last year too. And they probably would have got a good deal for him last year, but now
let me ask you a question, Eli. How do you know they didn't try to offer him a deal last year?
I don't know. I'm not
exactly.
Sure.
We keep insinuating that players aren't stupid. Why am I going to take a deal now? I'm just going to take your $11.7 million and go into free agency and get the max deal. I'm not going to limit myself to negotiate with one team. I'm going to take the $11.7 million and go into free agency and get the best deal.
So you think he bet on himself this year?
I think he bet on himself.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we keep insinuating, we keep putting it on the Orioles. They should have offered him a deal 2 years ago. No, 2 years ago, he's coming off a 33 home run season. Going to arbitration. I know what I'm worth in arbitration. If I don't know, my agent knows. I'm not taking a deal now. I'm going to wait and go into free agency and test the market there.
It is something. I love the point. God, I'm going to do it again. I got to get out of here. I mean, he's right, though, when it comes to the point of what is it about fans that always want the – it's the even though both have a hand in it, mm-hmm. They always want the player to take less and not ownership to give them more. And I totally get it when you have a salary cap. We don't have a cap here anymore. Mm-hmm. So, or we've never had one in baseball. So you look at it and going, okay, like I understand it if you want to pay him. But I think the other part of this too, in talking about the signing, you were looking at your business model and you were probably thinking he was walking and Kierstead slides in. That's probably what you're looking at, right? The problem became is that he played his ass off. Kierstead's got a concussion now. He was hitting the hell out of the ball before that concussion. And now you don't know what to do. You're not even sure if Kierstead can play right field for you.
Yeah.
You don't know whether right. Not now.
Let's get one more quickly. DC in Baltimore. What's up, DC?
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, man?
All right. Bless. Listen, I'm going to jump off after I say this statement. How do you guys feel about paying him, right, or I should say the teams paying him in that division like the Yankees or the Red Sox? I'm gone.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
And he is going to destroy Yankee Stadium if he goes there.
By the way,
he'll be a 40 home run guy at Yankee Stadium.
He'll
be a 40 home run guy here.
He's going to do that here.
Do that here.
If it happens the way I think the Mets are signing Soto, I think they're going to throw everything at him to get him away from the Yankees to give them a big FU.
Who's the perfect replacement for Soto?
Santander.
Yeah.
And I know they'll start that. Oh, here we are being a AAA team for everyone else. No, you've got to make business decisions. And I understand, like, keeping Santander is something I would like to do just for fandom, and he's a good player. But if you have all these young prospects and you're not trading them away, eventually they come in to replace these guys. Go look at what Enrique Bradfield Jr. is doing. Hell, you can go look at what Basayo's doing, although I think they want to keep Rutschman and Basayo together. I mean, these guys are just killing it at the minor league level, and as they get to AAA, you run into the problem you had this year. Where are we going to put them?
Orioles Director of Baseball Strategy, Brandon Forney, joins us at 9:45. But on the other side, Ed North, we're giving out shovels.
Yep, giving one to one of my favorite NBA players, Kevin Garnett, for getting duped and just finding out.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.